but to a person whose mentality is sufficiently unfolded to succinctly consider the relative value of phenomena all about him, this phase of phenomena that you are having here demonstrates beyond peradventure that man is spirit with an unending identity. Here, your inner sight is opened to discern spiritual things by the combined evidence of sight, touch and hearing. Friends, do you believe you are persons in circle here tonight? Aye, you know it. We would not insult you with such silly questions as this. We simply say you know of the existence of your being, and here we can as consistently ask you to know that your identical conscious being survives the dissolution of your physical organism. 829. Friends, pardon me, but I should like to ask some of those wise people if they can tell how life is established in embryo? And just how the embryo is formed and what forms it? You may find someone who thinks he knows all about it, but you will find such a harder to penetrate with the truth of the matter than one who knows nothing about it. The ignorant and bigot you need not tarry with, but to the ignorant one who knows his ignorance you can offer proof that his mind can assimilate, but each of such minds must require different proof accordingly as his mind is prepared to receive. After Payne's wonderful voice had ceased its reverberations, one announced his name as Mozart, the great musician. 830. Then a woman spirit stood at southeast corner of the cabinet, directed her attention toward the friend Ellsworth, saying, "My son, how does thee do?" And instantly the woman form had gone away. There stood in the place where the woman had been, a man of short stature, not more than 5 feet tall, seemingly, who directed his gestures toward the new visitor, began talking in very indistinct utterance so that the secretary could catch but small part of what the spirit did say, but it was evidently the speech and mannerisms of some one of a society of Friends or Quakers. As the spirit proceeded, however, his speech improved, so that enough was understood to gather the general trend of the speaking, somewhat thus. 831. I am not used to this manner of speech. I wish to say to you that, some of these days, you will join us on this side of life, that this great change, that people of earth look upon as one to be deplored as a great calamity, as one of sorrow and gloom, you will realize, when you get here, to consider as one of great rejoicing and gladness. While in the earth condition you may often feel disposed to pray for protection, to some ideal personage, yet if you would garner the light around about you, you would quickly discern that nature everywhere is a bountiful storehouse for supplying the every need of your being, and is the one available source from which your actual needs may be supplied. Therefore, it would seem superfluous to direct your petitions elsewhere, consequently you should pray to nature. Take the keys nature offers you, unlock and help yourselves to her bountiful storehouse. And when thou gettest here thou wilt be welcome to partake of the good things with which her broad tables are ever laden. 832. At the Tuesday evening seance this spirit by his peculiar laugh disclosed his identity to friend Ellsworth, as one Canisius Bowerman, who was a Quaker minister. 833. Professor Denton in his ordinarily good strong vocalizing powers spoke as follows. Friends, those who try to hurt spiritualism don't hurt us in the least, they may damage you mortals, they may temporarily retard the cause among the people. The time has come when spiritualists should organize, take hold of the work in earnest and spread the light. We propose to defend our medium through the magazine, and you should try to interest all you meet who would likely become interested. You can disseminate purity and goodness among the people, if you will, and to those who will accept. You can talk, you can reason, but as to those who will not accept you, from such you can walk away. Were we to undertake these phenomena in presence of those unable to comprehend, we would fail. 834. Then a form stepped out of the cabinet at the center, and standing just outside the curtains he dematerialized downwardly, and instantly rose up, then stepped to near middle of the room, dematerialized downwardly, seeming to pass through the floor into the room below. A. Then Wesley Abb appeared at center of the room and dematerialized down till the head vanished at the floor. B. And yet another came out of cabinet to a point some 2½ feet from cabinet door toward feet of circle, and began going down, saying as he went, "Good night, good night, good night," to till the head reached the carpet, then as the mouth reached the carpet, said aloud, "Good night," and the top of head vanished. Seance number 53, December 25, 1902, 835. In addition to the regular circle, Dr. P. J. Ellsworth, of Oskaloosa, Iowa, Mr. Fisher, and Mr. F. G. Winkler, both the latter from Buffalo, N.Y., were admitted as visitors. At opening of seance, Dr. Reed and Professor Denton saluted the circle and bade the visitors a hearty welcome. As usual, when new elements are admitted, a great part of the forces are utilized in form presentation for benefit of the visitors and their spirit friends, though, on this occasion, we had an excellent typewritten dictation from the spirit. Moonbeam 836. My name is Moonbeam. I promised to give you a few of the experiences I have had among the children upon the earth plane, and I am here tonight to fulfill that promise. I still retain the form of a young girl, although I have been in the spirit land for many years. I was very fond of children upon earth, and when I found that I would be permitted to dwell among them in the spirit land, I was very happy indeed. Like my namesakes, I make the greater portion of my visits at night. I like to come in the twilight hours, when much of the care and bustle of the earth life is over. 837. I have a little earth friend who is a factory hand. The dear little thing works all day filling small muslin bags with vile-smelling tobacco. She is not physically able to stand the strain of such constant work, but unfeeling parents and employers keep her busy at a task that is robbing her of her earth life. She firmly believes that I am a fairy because I can come to her through closed doors and because my dress is all covered with sparkling lights. I talk to her and try to keep her spirit pure so that when she crosses to the spirit land she can be taken to one of the beautiful homes for children. She thinks that I am talking of fairyland when I try to describe the beautiful homes where the little children dwell in the spirit land. How her tired eyes brighten when I tell her that she shall soon go where there are gardens full of flowers and birds, and where she can play just as much as she pleases. 838. As this is Christmas night, I think I shall tell you of a sad experience I had on last Christmas night. I had a dear little friend that I had been watching over for some time who crossed to the spirit land that night. He was a poor little street waif, no better than many other waifs, but how dearly I loved him. I found him through another spirit, about 4 years prior to his passing out. This spirit saw that the child would make a fine psychic, if he was properly handled, and knowing the ability that I possess in making myself visible to others still in the mortal form, she took me to this child. I endeavored to impress people who were interested in occult things to take the child in, but I was not successful in my endeavors. You, no doubt, would have called him a very bad child. He used tobacco and could swear and drink with the worst of his class, and many times I have caught him stealing. 839. You may wonder why he was so dear to me, since I have told you of his evil traits. Therefore, I shall try to explain. I knew that this fine little sensitive was not his own master. I have seen dozens of undeveloped spirits, both men and women, about the child, fighting for a chance to come through his organism to gratify their depraved desires, and I have assisted the child in every way I could. He knew me and always called me the swell fairy, whenever he would talk to others of what he saw. His companions called him Batty, and would sneer at him and ask why they never got their lamps on me. I kept up the uneven warfare with these spirits for years, but without assistance from anyone upon the earth plane, I was unable to rescue him. The child tried to help me, but all of his environments were against him, and while under the influence of drink, he was run down by a loaded truck and injured, so that he died in a short time. I was with him that night, for I had resolved to save him if I could in any way, but the conditions were against me, and I was powerless. Kind hands picked up the little bruised body and carried it into a saloon on the corner. They laid him upon a table and there, among that indifferent crowd, he passed to this side. Why do not the artists of earth paint just such pictures as this, that the people may learn that there is more need of missionaries at home than abroad? I stood by him, one dirty little hand clasped tightly in my own. He looked at me and smiled and tried to speak, but the earthly body was too weak. In one of his pockets was found a little doll, evidently intended for some little girl. This little token told the story of his kind and unselfish heart, better, perhaps, than anything else could have told it. 840. When it was ascertained from other newsboys that he had no home, but like many others, slept in empty boxes, a collection was taken up to defray the funeral expenses. Men who had passed him by many times without a smile or a kind word, gave generously that the useless bit of clay might find a resting place, other than the potter's field. Oh! If they had only assisted me to have kept him upon the earth plane, in the years to come he would have been able to have given them that which money cannot buy, the proof of life eternal. 841. I took the little spirit with me to a home that wise spirits have prepared for such spirits. He is delighted with his new home and cannot be convinced that he will not awake and find himself in the miserable conditions of earth life. 842. I must tell you of another charge I have, a little boy, also, who came to the spirit land in a different manner. He had a beautiful home upon earth, but unfortunately for him, he was the child of very religious parents who deemed it their duty to punish him severely for telling them that he saw and talked with angels. 843. I am not able to be present with each of my little friends all the time, but must divide my time. So, one day, while I was away from this little friend, his mother shut him in a dark closet, and before the message for me to come reached me, he was so frightened that he died in convulsions late the same day. My work has been among children in both the earth and the spirit land, and I have always tried to impress their parents and guardians to allow them to grow spiritually. 844. You may ask why it is that we come to children when we know that they will be punished for it? My friends, if the good spirits did not come to children who are natural sensitives, the undeveloped ones could and would injure them, spiritually, while the only injury they can receive from our visits is the punishment they receive from those in the body. 845. How I should like to impress upon all the world that 9/10 of all the children are, more or less, in touch with the spirit land. As they grow older and become absorbed in earthly matters, they gradually get out of rapport with spirits. But, if they could realize how important it is to keep in touch with good and wise spirits, they would develop, instead of trying to overcome their mediumship. 846. The spirit life is the real and everlasting life, and any sacrifice you may make to keep yourself pure is sure to be amply rewarded in the spirit land. 847. Take care of the little ones, that they may grow in spirituality, and the sins of earth will grow less, year by year. 848. During the hour for social discussion, Brother Winkler said that he had been studying the law of vibration for some time, and afterward reduced his theme to the following interrogative statement: what is already known to mortals, sound vibrates from 16,000 to 40,000, and light representing all the different colors of the spectrum and all variations between them, about 485 billion for red, the longest, and about 751 billion for violet, highest. On this basis, Mr. W. asked these questions. First, are animals living with senses developed to perceive vibrations between the highest sound, 40,000, and the lowest light vibration, 485 billion? 2d, do the vibrations of clairvoyance, dematerialization and materialization belong to the vibrations below or above the light spectrum vibrations? 3d, is the character of the vibration, considering each vibration move by itself, of clairvoyance, dematerialization and materialization different from the character of sound and light? 849. And to this subject, Professor Denton responded very briefly, we have not reached a conclusion concerning vibrations on this side. But the highest law of vibrations that may be reached while in the physical is that found in clairvoyance and materialization, and as to any higher vibrations, you may be able to know more fully when you reach this side. 850. The spirits seemed unable to hold longer and returned into the cabinet, not reappearing. It may be presumed that he considered the subject as sufficiently treated in rending the veil. See Law of Vision, 2242-2246, 2029-2035 R.V., see also R.V. 2012-2015, see also What is Light? R.V. 2069-2069 D. Seance number 54, December 28, 1902 851. Inasmuch as this was a test seance for the benefit of the four visitors who were present, the reader will please excuse cumbering of the record with the names and addresses of all the persons remaining in their physical forms who were present as eye and ear witnesses to the phenomena of this seance, to wit, C. V. N. House and his wife B. House, Joseph Simpson, Mrs. L. C. Cook, Ms. May Cook, J. H. Nixon, and Mrs. Abba, all of Spring Hill, Kansas, Dr. E. J. Sahus of Kansas City, Mo. T. B. Martin, of Joplin, Mo. Dr. P. J. Ellsworth of Oskaloosa, Iowa, and Mr. F. G. Winkler and Mr. Leander Fisher, both of Buffalo, N. Y. and Mrs. Mary Irene Dye, of Chicago, Ill. 852. After the circle were all seated and the medium in the cabinet, the spirit, Dr. Reed, came to the condition of visibility, standing in the parting of the cabinet curtains at the center, and in his usual affable manner saluted the circle with an expression that he was glad to have the visitors with us and that honest investigators are always welcome. That they, the guides here, do not particularly stand aside for the spirit friends of visitors, but do their work in their own way, and if not so rapidly as the circle might sometimes desire, still they get their work done, and that one especial benefit of these visitors is, that by them the truth will more generally reach out among the people. 853. The spirit Professor Denton then came from the cabinet at southeast corner, and standing near to the secretary, spake in his old-time oratorical manner, saying, "Friends, I hope you will make yourselves as harmonious as possible during the sitting this evening. For, thereby, you produce the most favorable conditions and reap the benefit of the best results. Sometimes, we have worked under conditions which, could you have seen them, you would have wondered how it was possible for us to work at all. But when we have work planned out to do, we find a way, sooner or later, by which to accomplish it. As we get toward the close of our third book, we have planned to give matter for a magazine. We see the need of such a work, as an advertising medium, and especially do we design, if we can get sufficient help from the mortal side, to produce far more wonderful and startling phenomena than any we have yet given. And we earnestly invite assistance, and hope that spiritualists will do all they can to spread the truth." 854. Your world needs reform in many ways. It needs to be educated out of the slough of ignorance, selfishness and debauchery. We must enlighten the people, so that they will live better lives and treat each other, at least, with such respect as to regard all people to be of one family and work for one another and not continually follow the practice of the strong against the weak. When you find unfortunate ones weighed down under an already unbearable load, don't kick them on down farther, but try to help them. Say to them, "My brother, my sister, come with me and I will try to help you." Talk to them kindly. Let them feel that you speak from the bottom of your heart, and gladness will once more brighten up their downcast eyes. When your world shall learn the one all-important lesson, that all are brothers, that the world exists for all, and not alone for titled nabobs, then it will begin to grow in goodness and spirituality, and peace, instead of war, shall reign. 855. The spirit, Wesley Abba, came to the condition of visibility standing between the cabinet and the circle, with writing tablet open in his left hand and remarked, "Now, Mr. Secretary, call attention." At this moment the spirit began writing with common lead pencil held in his right hand. Secretary asked Mr. Winkler to set his time, stopwatch, which Mr. Winkler did, and was ready to mark time at beginning of second page, and when first page was written and handed to Mr. Fisher for him to retain to close of seance, the spirit, with pencil at top of the second page, said Reddy. His hand began moving and Mr. Winkler's watch started at same moment, and stopped at the same moment that the spirit finished the page and jerked the leaf of writing from the tablet. The spirit passed the same to Mr. Fisher, and the spirit kept right on writing, page after page, and delivering to Mr. Fisher, to the number of 8 pages, which Mr. Fisher retained to close of seance. This being a dictation, the spirit dictating could not speak as rapidly as the amanuensis could write. The spirit Wesley kept saying to the dictating spirit, "Give it to me faster, please, faster, faster, hurry up, I'm waiting," and kindred remarks, all the time of the writing, and the dictating spirit, though inside the cabinet, was distinctly heard by those of the circle whose hearing was not defective, to be speaking in whisper, and some of the words were heard. And when the last page was written, Wesley asked the dictating spirit, "What is your name?" And the whispered answer was, "Gale," and most of the circle heard the answer distinctly, which Wesley subscribed to manuscript, laid the tablet on the desk and vanished. And when the seance closed, it was found that Mr. Winkler's watch showed the time of the writing of the second page to have been 31 seconds, and count of the words showed there to be 142 words or 280 words to the minute. The whole writing was at near the same rate. While this seems slow writing as compared to some we have had, yet, it seems, the dictating spirit was unable to whisper more rapidly, and the writing proved to be the experience of the spirit. Kale 856. Friends, I persuaded a spirit, whom I know to be an earnest worker among the lowly ones of the earth plane, to tell me a small part of his experience for the benefit of our readers, and this is his story, or as much of it as he saw fit to acquaint me with. 857. I began life in the business world with plenty of capital, therefore, everything looked bright and prosperous for me. I had friends without number, but when I had become poor, through unlucky speculations, my friends disappeared as rapidly as a snowball in a furnace, and after struggling in vain to climb again the ladder of fortune in my home city, I drifted westward, but found the struggle much harder for me there, as I had contracted the drink habit and would often find forgetfulness in a prolonged spree, until I had sunk so low in the social scale, that I found myself on a poor farm, and it was from that institution that I entered the spirit world. My last days were full of misery. I had dissipated until I was without physical strength, and surrounded with paralytic patients, epileptics, imbeciles and persons with many other afflictions. I was forced to pass my last days. There were beauties all around me, the beauties of nature, but the great grief in my heart blinded my eyes to any beauty. I dwelt only in the past, and how sincere and heartfelt my grief was over my mistakes, no one but myself will ever know. 858. I found, after I reached the spirit world, that this constant introspection had been of great benefit to me. A. While the wind howled around the building and rattled doors and windows in its strong grasp, I passed from the forced charity of a cold world into a world of supreme beauty. I had to outgrow many mistakes, but I had the assistance of many loving friends, and the task was full of pleasure. 859. When I grew strong enough to travel about in the spirit world with the aid of my friends, I rejoiced in its many beauties. The parks in the spirit world defy description. Ornamental trees and shrubs are everywhere, and emerald grass forms soft carpets for weary feet. Magnificent palms and evergreens add dignity to the place, and form retreats for myriads of songbirds. These parks are rich in the great permeating joy of life that trembles in every leaf and flower, transmitting the influence of its buoyancy into hearts grown weary, dispirited and restless. 860. The best man who has ever lived finds himself confronted by the glimpses of his innocent boyhood, and finds it hard to identify himself with the youth who saw heaven in the rose flush of every morning. And the most advanced spirit looks back upon his past life with feelings of gladness, and he finds it hard to realize that he, too, has passed through many of the struggles that are rending the hearts of so many of the people upon the earth plane today. There are many spirits in the higher spheres whose earth lives were full of bad deeds, but, by constant work for years, yes, for hundreds of years, In some cases, they have been able to overbalance their dishonorable acts. But like severe wounds, misdeeds always leave their scars. 861. There is no way, notwithstanding the cant of priests, to squeeze a frightened penitent into heaven at the last gasp. The gates of eternal happiness do not swing open at the touch of any sinner, however penitent he may be, until he has in a measure overcome the evils of an ill-spent life. I laid up my treasures in worldly goods and the greed of others wrested them from me. If I could have known just what I do tonight, how much sorrow I might have saved myself and others. 862. Very little permanent influence can be traced to those who give advice without truths that can be demonstrated. Therefore, it rejoices me to know that you have succeeded in placing before the skeptical world the indisputable proofs that you have. 863. How I long to see better conditions for those who have made an honorable struggle for means enough to supply them with comfort through their earth life and have failed. How nice it would be if arrangements could be made by which such people could draw upon their government for the necessaries of life and progression. They would not do this, from choice or voluntarily, but do it because it was compulsory. No one can wrest the results of well-doing from you. They will endure, if employed, and are worth all that can be made of them. 864. There is not a more exalted station than that of furnishing the means of subsistence and advancement. I hope the time is near at hand when the poor farms of earth will be very different from what they are at the present time. Let the inmates feel that there is much more to strive for than riches. The treasures of earth are as dross compared with the treasures of the soul. I find, in my travels, that the ones who are really rich and great are those who have striven, above everything else, to develop their spirituality. I know, only too well, how difficult it is to so develop. And I also know that the clergy have retarded the soul growth of many by saying that, though your sins be as scarlet they can be made white as snow, and that not through any efforts of your own, but through the unselfish generosity of one good man. 865. Friends, teach your children that they, alone, are the arbitrators of their own destinies, and that heaven is all around them and that, the pure in heart are the ones who find and enjoy eternal happiness. Signed, Kale. 866. Then there came to view of the circle a person aged striving to talk, but with little success for some time. At length, however, he was able to utter words with a good degree of distinctness and asked questions and carried on dialogue with the circle somewhat thus, Spirit, what are you doing here? Circle, we are waiting to receive what spirits may be pleased to give unto us. S. What kind of place is this? C. This is where people, who once lived on earth and have left their earth bodies, may return to people who yet live on earth. S. Who are you? C. People who are still living on earth. S. Well, who am I? C. You are a spirit, you have passed from your old body. S. Ain't I here, same as you are? C. You are here, but you are not in your old earth body. You have a temporary body. S. How did I get in here? C. Some of those people in that place behind you helped you to get in. S. What is that mountain? I can't get up that mountain. C. That is a mountain of darkness, and you are let in here to let light shine on that mountain so you can see how to get over the mountain. S. I just come down a mountain to get in here. C. Who are you? Where were you on earth? Where were you before you came down the mountain? S. Don't you know? I was lost. I just came down the mountain and here I am, just here, trying to get over a mountain. Don't you see that mountain? There is a light. What is that light up there? Where is my party? Why am I here? C. You are a spirit out of your old body and you are here to learn about that. Those people back of you, in the cabinet, will help you, show you more light, conduct you over the mountain. That red light you see, is for our convenience. S. I guess I better go back if I can get out of here. Bessie, that fellow started out with a band of explorers, got lost and froze to death. 867. Then about a dozen forms, some in splendid physique, both men and women, ancient and modern, in quick succession, and many of them in brilliant attire, did appear, some in white, some in mixed colors. Several of them gave their names. Among the number, G. Ingersoll was recognized, spoke a few words and vanished. This spirit, in reply to some remarks of the circle, said, "No, I was not an avowed spiritualist, but I gave many lessons which were beneficial, and much that I said had a great influence upon the minds and toward shaping thoughts of the people into a better channel."